Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 135. It's a week of August 5th, 2011. And I'd like to thank you for downloading the show. Really appreciate you having interest in the show and enough to download and listen to it. Got a couple things I'm going to go over this week. The podcast has pretty much turned into a bi-weekly podcast now. Just want to make sure everybody was aware of that. I've tried, in the past I had tried to put out a show every week, and it became just too much work. And but I don't want it to be an every third week podcast, so I'm going to try to make it a bi-weekly, I guess that's what every other week is, a bi-weekly podcast, and hopefully you continue to download the show and be a loyal listener. A couple things I want to talk about this week. I've got the Dr. Smitty 40-mile ultra attempt from last weekend, or week before last weekend. Got an update on my friend Lummox, who is training for the Annapolis 10-miler, which is on August 28th. And then I'm going to talk about some of my own motivation issues that I'm having at the moment. So let me talk about my friend Lummox. He started listening to the podcast. A couple of years ago, I ran the Annapolis 10-miler for the first time, and Lummox lives up in that area. And I stayed, I've stayed at his house when I've done the B&A Trail Marathon before. So he lives up in the Annapolis area. It's a beautiful area of Maryland if you've never been there, especially the Maryland State House area, because that is the capital. It's right down there on the water. It's really cool. Well, the State House is not on the water, but Annapolis itself is right on the Severn River. I'm not even sure what river it is. I know it's right on the Chesapeake. Anyway, a couple years ago, he had given, stayed at his house when I went up to run the Annapolis 10-miler with another friend, and he dropped us off there at the Naval Memorial Stadium and picked us up, so we had a ride. And at that point in time, he wasn't a runner. And then, I guess over the course of a couple years, I've been running, and I talk about that a lot when I'm hanging out with him. And he got it in his mind that he wanted to run the Annapolis 10-miler, and so I had suggested just for him to start small, run a mile, take a break, and just build up from there. And he's been building up to it for numerous months now, up to the point where we got to 9 miles last week. And what I had done is I had suggested that he just train up to 8. Because if you train up to 8, then I just personally feel like you can run 10 miles on race day. And the Annapolis 10-miler is a big race. It sells out. It's thousands of runners. They got some pretty good race swag. It's also a hilly course, and typically humid up in that area. And so I fully expect it to be that way on August 28th when we do that race. He's up to 9 miles, and you got to understand, this is a fellow I went to college with, no exercise. This was not a person that had exercise in his repertoire at all, and now he's almost a double digit runner. So it's gonna be very cool on race day to go alongside him when he, I guess, is gonna be his first race ever, and it's gonna be a pretty good one. And one of the real good things about the Annapolis 10-miler is actually the post race party. They really know how to do it. It's a good post race party. They got a beer truck out there at the Memorial Stadium. They give you a cold towel at the end, and some pretty good race swag overall. So I'm definitely pleased to be doing that again. Now, and what I'll talk about when I get here in a few minutes, when I get down to the motivational part, is that I'm currently planning on doing that Patrick Henry Half Marathon on August 27th, and then the Annapolis 10 Miler the next day. However, my fitness is nowhere near that, so somehow between now and then, I've got to kind of do a crash course in endurance running. I don't think I'll get injured because my body's already set up for that, being with some of the previous training I've done. So I'll get to that here in just a minute. So, all right, anyway, my hat's off to you, Lummix. Well done on the training, and I look forward to running with you on race day. And what we'll do is we'll probably do a podcast report from Annapolis, talking about the various observations during that race, because there's definitely there's always lots to see there. They got the juggler guy. Let's see, back when I did it, I guess it was 2007 when I ran it. I think it was 2007. They had there's a guy that runs races up in Maryland that juggles while he runs, and then there's also some kids that kicked a soccer ball back and forth the whole time that they did it. Maryland's a little different, so I'm looking forward to that. Okay, let me get to the main reason for the podcast. Went down and I'm not even sure what the title of the show is going to be, but what it ought to be is driving 4 hours to walk. Now, what is it? Drive 4 hours to walk a mile and a half. went down for Dr. Smitty's 40-mile ultra attempt, which he was doing to celebrate turning 40. The only problem was the temperature. It was 106 degrees surface temperature, and I think about 116 heat index is what we were able to determine. He made 29.84 miles under those temperature conditions, which was remarkable. My problem was I missed most of it. My plan was to Dr. Smitty's come up. He supported me and paced me when I did my first 50-miler. Run some other races, not with him, but we've run the same races, and we've gotten to know each other. And so I thought it'd be a great opportunity for me to go down there and support him when he was when he would do his 40-mile attempt to celebrate turning 40. Now, he was trained for this, and keep in mind, I mean, he's a seasoned veteran when it comes to marathoning and whatnot. The only thing problem was the temperature. He had planned to run Oak Grove Lake Park. It was a 1.55 mile loop, I think, around the park, around this large lake. It was beautiful, and he had all his aid set up at one of the picnic shelters, and he had lots of support. And his plan was just to run, you know, circular loops around the park or around the lake on the running path, you know, until he got to his mileage. Now, my plan was to get down there about halfway through. He planned to start around 8, and he wanted to be finished by 4, because then he was going to have a party after that at his house, which he still did. And so my plan was to get down there and kind of support him through the second half of it, as well as get a workout in myself. Even in the heat, I figured I could still run, you know, some, because, you know, my effort wasn't going to be anything compared to his effort, which was going to be all day. Well, if you listen to the show and you're familiar with the Richmond metropolitan area, then you know about I-64, Interstate 64 between Richmond, Williamsburg, and the Newport News, Norfolk area. And you know that that's just two lanes where it really should be four, because the traffic is just, it's generally just bumper to bumper the whole way down. It moving, you know, the traffic moves, but it's generally not the kind of traffic where everybody stays in the right lane. You go out in the left lane to pass. It's pretty much traffic in both lanes the whole way, and you really can't pass anybody. Well, and that's usually the main way you go to the Hampton Roads area, where you can go through the tunnel, where you go under the part of the bay. On an alternate route, when I say bay, I mean the Chesapeake Bay. An alternate route is Route 460, which goes through some a little bit more rural areas, and you don't have to go through the tunnel. And that's a state route; it's not an interstate. And that's really the way I always go down to that area. But on this particular day, I was running a little bit late. So I got on 64 thinking that I would get down there quicker, because generally you're going to add about 30 minutes when you take 460, just because you have to go through some towns and the speed limit drops down to 45. anyway, I don't know what got over me, but I found myself getting on 64, and before I could even get out of anything, I was in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and at one point in time, my car did not move for 10 minutes. Now, the reason I bring all this up is because I got stuck in traffic to the point where I did not get down to see Greg until he was practically done with the whole thing. So I actually put this up there with maybe probably the second most dumb thing I've ever done. And no offense to you, Greg, or any of the other people I met down there. It's just that with me waiting and then going on 64 and then sitting looking at my car's thermometer where it said 106 degrees on the car thermometer, I was really starting to wonder, you know, what am I doing? I could literally be sitting here. At one point in time, my car didn't even move for 10 minutes. I thought something had happened on the highway and the police shut it down for a fatality accident or something. You know, in a situation like that, they don't turn cars around and you just sit there until till it opens up. That's the way it works. You don't turn around on the interstate. You just sit there until the highway opens again. Well, after not moving for 10 minutes, I started to, approaching lunchtime, and I didn't have any food in the car. I had plenty of liquid, but I had no food. I don't know, and I was planning on stopping along the way and just picking up something on the way down. Well, after I think it was a good 10 minutes of nothing moving at all, the traffic started beeping and creeping a little bit, and I looked at the map and I realized that if I went 5 miles, I could get off on exit 211 and work my way down. See, I still had to cross the James River before I could get to the Chesapeake area, and that's what the tunnel does. If you go on 64, you don't really go under the James River. You go under the bay where the James River has opened into the bay, but there's only so many bridges across the James River, and I wanted to get across the last one before, otherwise I'd be too committed to Interstate 64 and I'd have to keep going that way. So I finally got off after about another half hour, 40 minutes, and then probably backtracked a good 30 to 40 minutes before I finally felt like I was making some progress, and I made my way down to 460. Finally got into Chesapeake, found the park, found the shelter where all of Greg's friends were, and it was really cool because I got to meet some new people, Dan and Rich and Sonny, and I met a couple more, I just can't remember the names at the moment, and some of those people I met later at the party, some I met right there at the shelter where the picnic shelter where Greg had all the stuff set up. Now here's the weird thing. Well, Greg was out on the course when I got there, and so I kind of just stood around, got my shoes on, thinking I was going to be running with him some. He eventually arrives, and he is pretty much done. He had gone, 29.84 minus 1.55 is, or roughly that. And he was done. He'd already done the marathon distance and the heat index. One guy had a little handheld droid or something, and he looked up on the weather.com website, and the heat index was 116 for Chesapeake. And the weird thing about it was that there was a beautiful breeze blowing off the water. However, once you left the picnic shelter, you didn't get the breeze. So Greg said he was going to try to go around one more time. And so I accompanied him as well as several other people. And we just walked halfway around and then came back halfway in the shade. And at that point, he had done almost 30 miles, which I thought was pretty remarkable for the heat index and the heat, because the temperature was over 100. And so I think anybody would agree that that is was a pretty remarkable feat based on the temperature, and nobody expected him to do 40 miles at that point. So then the jokes went around, well, he did 40K, that's good enough, and you know, some other jokes were made, and so he came in, and he was really a different person, and he listens to the podcast, so I don't want to share too many of the details, but he was the walking dead there for a little bit, and then he lied down for a while and had some really bad cramping. And his car was in the parking lot, and we tried getting him in his car after he had cooled off a little bit, and he was cramping so bad he couldn't sit in the driver's side without cramping so bad. So he got out a few times, finally was able to get in and make his way home. And of course, I had to follow him because I didn't know where his house was, and I was going over to the post-event party at his house. So we get over there, gets cleaned up, and he's pretty much just kind of a zombie for a while. until he finished the whole bag of potato chips, and that was around 10 o'clock at night. And at that point in time, he was wide awake, and I think that's probably why I ended up staying up so late, and while some other people did, because Greg was back at that point. But he was that's what it'll do to you, depleting your body of all. You can't replace everything. You can replenish the best you can, but you certainly can't replace all the stuff your body loses on with such an effort. So, Greg, my hat's off to you for such an incredible effort, going for the 40 miles. And I know that wasn't the farthest you've ever been, because I know you did. You've done some 50Ks, but hopefully you'll get that 40 under your belt at some point in time, and maybe you'll tackle the 50, and maybe I can be along for that. One of the cool things that I thought, the whole experience of going down there was the incredible support that Greg had. There must have been, at one point in time, 8 to 10 people in the picnic shelter, either waiting for him to come in or actually being alongside him. Some people kind of came and went. He seemed to know everybody, and as it turns out, it was all people from, for the most part, I think, from DailyMile.com. It was a DailyMile.com meetup. I'm not sure if they've done a meetup before. Rich, if you're listening to this, maybe you could send me an email at AshlandDave@gmail.com. Or post on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com and let me know if you guys have met up before, because y'all have a great running group, and it seemed like everybody was really friendly and knew each other and looked like they'd known each other forever. And even the post event party, everybody just seemed to know each other for quite some time. Of course, the only thing that's better than running is actually talking about running, and that's what everybody was doing at the party, and I felt right at home, and it was just a great group of people. And apparently it was all from Daily Mile meetups, from people that live down there and that have contact with each other on that, I guess that's a social networking website for runners. So I thought that was pretty cool. The humidity was, it felt like 100%, but I think it was around 70-something or 80-something percent. And if you're not from Virginia, you have to understand, we're not used to temperatures in the triple digits here. So whenever it gets that hot, it's really... It's really a lot different than anything we're used to. And then when you mix the humidity in there, it's not a dry heat, it's a very wet heat, and there's just no way to escape it. And you can drink as much water as you can, but what happens, you just don't ever replace. And what happens is the water and your sweat never evaporates from your clothes or from your arms or your hair. It just stays wet, so you're running with wet clothing on that can chafe and cause some other problems. Whereas in dry heat climates, where the moisture of your perspiration will evaporate, and your clothes might actually stay kind of dry. In Virginia, that humidity is just can be unbearable at times. Although I love living here, don't get me wrong, but boy, that humidity just saps it out of you. And so that's a segue into the last part of the show, except for the email bag, which is my own motivational problems. We've been having some extreme heat that I'm not used to, and it's been very difficult for me to get out there and do any running. And so I've been logging, between like 8 to 12 miles a week for the last couple weeks. One week I didn't even run at all because it was just so hot. I had no motivation. I get out there, I run for 20 minutes, and then I'm just ready to go home. And I haven't signed up for the half marathon on August, the Patrick Henry half, but I am signed up for the 10 miler, which I will do, and I'm going to have fitness for that, even if I have to kind of make that my long run. I want to get up and do 7 before I go up to Annapolis. And I think if I do 7, I could probably squeeze out the half marathon with a run walk. And the reason I keep bringing that up is because I've done all 4 of the Patrick Henry half marathon since it started, since the sports backers and Richmond Roadrunners moved that race up to Ashland. And this year, the start-finish line has been moved to actually within walking distance of my house. So I can't imagine not being involved in that event one way or the other. So I think here I am, I'm thinking out loud. That's what the podcast is for. I think I'm probably going to sign up and do it and just, somehow manage to get through one way or the other. I mean, I can do a run five, walk five, and then cover the distance and still in pretty respectable time. The main thing I'm worried about is not having enough recovery time for the 10 mile the next day. Although, I've done distances like that before, so I don't know. I'm undecided. Here I am probably thinking I will do it just because I like to keep the streak going. But I was telling my wife that I don't anticipate doing it every year because I don't know if I want to train through the summer anymore. I found that I kind of like a spring event. I've got the 100K, the Graveyard 100, in my sights for next March. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not. Registration hasn't opened yet. I'm not even sure how much it costs because the website said it would. I'll put a link in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com where you can just search Graveyard 100. They haven't, the race director said registration would open in August, but I checked the website this morning and I didn't see where registration is open, so I'm not even sure how much that's going to cost. But that's a March race, and I just seem to be a lot more interested in training through the winter, late fall and winter, than I do in the summer for a fall marathon. I just can't, I don't know. I just don't think I can do it anymore. And I'm talking about running, you know, consistently in the heat where you're just dripping wet. I don't know if I'm interested in doing that. It just sucks the energy out of me. I have a hard time getting motivated to do it. This past Monday, I did 5 miles inside on an inside track, and just about wanted to kill myself after that, just for the monotony. Even though I was listening to my iPod, it was just, you know, 50 laps on an indoor track it was insane. I don't know. So I'm, you know, it's, I don't have a whole lot going on. I'm actually already looking towards that race in March down in the Outer Banks. I'm very interested in that. I'm not even sure if I could finish that distance, but it is something I'm interested in, and I'm interested in the route, and it's a road ultra, and it's in a part of the country that I really like, which is the Outer Banks, which if you've listened to the podcast over a period of time, you hear me talking about that all the time. So there's a lot of good things about that, and my wife wants to crew for me, and I haven't jury's still out on that one. I'm not really sure if I want her to see me like that, but we'll see. So anyway, we got some emails this week, which I want to hit on so I can keep the show in a reasonable amount. And I just want to say one thing about the podcast here is that I'm just a regular, ordinary, middle-of-the-pack runner, and I'm an ordinary guy trying to do some extraordinary things, and that's why I've kind of gotten into the ultras. And if you've ever considered running, the podcast has kind of started talking about ultra races more than other stuff, than marathons and half marathons. And it's because I really like the atmosphere at an ultra. It's smaller. It's you don't get lost in the crowd. You see kind of some of the same people at the races, even if you don't know them, eventually you will. And it's, for some reason, I tend to enjoy being in a smaller event than the real huge events. And I've got friends who are going to be running New York and the big marathons, and there's part of me that wants to be a part of that, but the other part of me doesn't want to deal with the traffic or parking or bathrooms, or I guess I'm just I'm kind of a simple person, I guess, in that aspect. And so that's why the podcast is kind of gets geared towards that kind of talk. However, it all started when I ran my first half marathon back in 2006, and that led to me doing my first marathon that fall. And, you know, the rest is history. And then the podcast started, I guess, 2008. No, I'm not sure when it started. I think it started in 2008 or 2009. I can't remember how long I've been doing it. But I'm at episode 135, so I guess it's not all that bad. So anyway, I'm going to try to get it out every other week. And I should have enough material to talk about every other week. And hopefully you'll continue to listen to the show and enjoy it. All right, let's get on to the email bag section of the show and see what you heard from this time. All right, we heard from Rich out of Virginia Beach, and Rich is one of the guys that I met down at Dr. Smitty's place, and he said he really enjoyed the 4-hour to 5-hour marathon discussion that was on in podcast number 134, and Rich has done a half marathon. He said he hasn't done a full marathon yet, and he used the word yet, which indicates he probably plans to run one. And he had an interesting perspective on if someone can say they actually ran a marathon, if they, I guess, ran the first 18 and then walked the last 8.2. And if someone was to do that, unless they were injured, that's not really the point. The point is to maintain, you know, your
a pace and an effort for the whole marathon, whether you walk power walking it or run it, or running and walking it. You know, if you run half of it and then walk the other half, to me, just my personal opinion, and I think Rich seemed to agree, that kind of that kind of violates the spirit of it, I guess. But he said he definitely, I'll definitely be seeing you at future races, Rich, down in that area probably. If I, you know, get back down. The Tidewater Striders is a good running club, and they put on some decent events down there. I'd like to get back down to that Seashore Nature Trail 50K, but the problem is that that race usually falls on the during the week that I'm on call right before Christmas for my job, which just sometimes the way it goes. And in order for me to switch that out, I probably have to take Christmas. So it might just be one of those races that I tend to miss, but I will be missing Rock and Roll. I've never run that one down there. Because we have a half marathon the week before here, which I've talked about earlier in the show, called the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. So I don't know, maybe someday. I know that's a big race, and I know that's big down in your area, Virginia Beach. So I appreciate you listening to the show, and it was definitely good to meet you, and I'm sure I'll see you again. Heard from Mike Dirt Dog. You can listen. He's got a great podcast at Dirt Dog's Rambling Diatribe podcast. You can just search Dirt Dog, and you'll find his show. Mike, I just wanted to thank you for recommending the show at the Brooks Running Cavalcade of Curiosities. I do appreciate you recommending the show. And you really, for all you other listeners out there, Mike's got a real decent show and a great one about the Western States Endurance Run. If you search his, for his, just search on any search engine, search for his show, Dirt Dog, D-I-R-T-D-A-W-G. And look for the episode about the Western States Endurance Run. It's very, because he was out there pacing a friend. It was very informative. Heard from Adam. He's got his own blog. I think it's iamboring.blogspot.com, something like that. Very funny. He's a fast marathoner, and he also commented on the show about the sub-5-hour marathoner. And when I say he's a fast marathoner, he's a fast marathoner. So he says that if he had to run that the pace that he runs for 4.5 hours, it would totally destroy his legs at his current pacing. So he's got equal respect for all marathoners, regardless of the finishing time. And I do too, Adam, and I appreciate you saying that, because really the whole point is to cover the distance one way or the other. And, you know, we all have the way that we think it should be done and the way that we want to personally do it. And then sometimes that happens and sometimes that doesn't. But, you know, these races are open. As long as they have the races open for people who run slow, you know, they're going to, you know, people will still enter them, and they raise the revenue that way. I mean, the majority of the people, I think you actually said, are over 4 hours anyway. So that's a good point. Appreciate you listening to the show, and as always, good to hear from you. And if you talk to Christina down there in Arizona, tell her to send me an email. I haven't heard from her in a long time. I'm guessing she still listens to the show. Also heard from Dr. Smitty. He said he's fully recovered from his effort in 116 degrees. He ran just over 13 miles last week when he's getting his training down for the Marine Corps Marathon, which is in October. So all the best to you, Greg, and I hope to cross paths with you soon. I guess you probably will be up here for the Patrick Henry Half. I'm hoping I'll probably see you then. Also heard from Neil out of Oxfordshire, UK. Lengthy email. Really appreciate that, Neil. I can't share the whole thing. But he said he's very familiar with Pine Mountain. He ran down in Georgia. So, Chris, if you're listening, you may know Neil. He lives in Columbus. Used to live in Columbus, which I guess isn't too far from Pine Mountain. He ran the Marine Corps Marathon in 98. As you can hear, my dog in the background's got a little squeaky toy. Ran the Marine Corps Marathon in 98, and but recently has gotten interested in ultras, and I was looking at the Bull Run Run 50 miler next April when he's going to be in the U.S. And I talked to him over, corresponded with him over email. For those of you who aren't familiar, the Bull Run Run is a well put on ultra, and you get in by a lottery system. And so you have to enter the lottery. So I would, Neil, I'd recommend having a backup race in case you don't get in that. And I went up and saw my friend Tom finish that last April, and really thought it was cool. It's in a really neat part of Virginia, up in Northern Virginia. Let's see. Yeah, I recommend you having a backup plan, backup race in mind. And Neil also asked me about what podcasts I listen to. So this might be a good time to share that. Of course, I listen to Dirt Dogs. I listen to one by Trail Slammer. I listen to the Endurance Planet. But that's only every now and then, because sometimes the topic isn't interesting to me, and so I won't listen to that show. And then I listen to, there's one called The Marathon Show, with this, the host is really, gets very excited about the whole thing. And again, as long as it's a topic that interests me, I'll listen to it. Otherwise, I'll just skip over it. And then I listen to some other podcasts. I listen to one called Stuff You Should Know, one Stuff You Missed in History Class. And G. Gordon Liddy, his radio show gets put on a podcast. I'll listen to that. And sometimes I'll listen to some other stuff my wife downloads into iTunes, some stuff from public radio. I don't really know the names of them. But sometimes, because those shows are an hour long, and I'm more interested in more of a 30-minute, 40-minute type of program. So anyway, those are some of the ones I listen to, Neil. And it was nice emailing with you, and hopefully you'll still listen to the show, and now we can trade emails. I also heard from Bruce. Bruce is a longtime listener of the show. He ran Cleveland, the Cleveland Marathon under 5 hours this year, and then he's which was the seventh marathon, and his PR is 4:26. So he's definitely that one of those sub 5 hour 4:30 people I was talking to. He said he really liked the sub 5 hour marathon discussion in the last podcast. And Bruce used to have his own podcast called Confessions of a Race Addict, but haven't heard from that lately. And his blog hasn't been, you haven't done anything on your blog, Bruce, since November. I was just checking that. So hopefully maybe you get that back out again. And I know it takes a whole lot of work to put out a podcast, but there are people out there that like to listen to it. And I remember I did listen to yours. So those are thanks again, Bruce, for listening to the show. And I know you've been listening for a long time. So those are the emails this week. And that's pretty much it for the show. Upcoming events are, of course, the Patrick Henry Half Marathon on August 27th, the Annapolis 10 Miler on August 28th. And I was hoping to do the third 5K in the cul-de-sac series back in July, but something came up for work, and I had to go to work that evening. I wasn't able to do it. Plus, I was going to bag it anyway, because it was so freaking hot outside. But after the Annapolis 10 Miler, I'm hoping to find something maybe locally September, October that I can run. And then I guess at some point I have to make a decision on whether I'm going to start ultra training again for that race in March. I have to really give that some serious thought. So, well, anyway, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe. And I'll be back again in 2 weeks with another podcast, episode 136. And I'm reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. And don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.